This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
If you think you're paying a lot for gas...
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Try driving a truck in Britain. Diesel now costs $9 a gallon. $9, not pounds. Today, hundreds of drivers rolled into London and parked their trucks on the highway. This, of course, created a massive traffic jam. It's their way of getting the British government's attention. Trucking companies want the government to lower fuel taxes. Fuel surcharges are going up everywhere. Starting today, tickets for Disney cruises, for example, cost $8 more. But as Jeff Tyler reports, cruise lines and airlines are not in the same boat.
Disney is the last of the major cruise lines to tack on a fuel surcharge. Royal Caribbean and Carnival have been doing it for months. Are these additional costs having any effect on passenger logs? Warren Miller covers the industry for Morningstar.
It's not going to have much of an impact on consumers' attitudes at all. Cruise lines have historically been viewed as a great value vacation, where you get a lot of bang for your buck.
But the opposite is true for the airline industry, where consumers are getting less bang for the buck. Many airlines charge a base price for a seat and extra for additional services. American Airlines broke ground with its new fees for each checked bag. Miller says airlines hope such a la carte fees will help reduce sticker shock when consumers shop for fares.
And if they're looking online to buy their tickets and they're seeing a price that's $100 more than what they're used to, they're going to turn it down right there.
He says Allegiant Air has been successful with this a la carte business model, and he expects other airlines will follow suit. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Oil prices and home prices are going in opposite directions. An index out this morning says home prices fell 14% in the first quarter. That's the biggest drop since the Case-Shiller index started in 1988. But stocks are bouncing back a little bit this morning. The Dow is up 34 points to 12,514. The NASDAQ has gained 20 points already. The S&P 500 is up 4. In Asia today, the markets gained about 1%. European shares are down just a fraction. One of the country's biggest philanthropies will announce a new gift today for biomedical research. The Howard Hughes Medical Institute is giving $600 million to a group of 56 scientists. Jeremy Hobson has more on what this means.
When it comes to funding medical research, the top dog is still the federal government, specifically the National Institutes of Health and its nearly $30 billion budget. But NIH funding has been flat since 2004, and David Farb of Boston University's School of Medicine says scientists are increasingly looking elsewhere for dollars.
Scientists are looking in all kinds of nooks and crannies for funding. Now, the Howard Hughes is hardly a nook or a cranny. It's more like Niagara Falls.
And like the Falls, the Hughes Institute wants to be a magnet for daredevils, hoping its money can be used for ambitious, even risky research. Farb says that's one big advantage of private research funding in general.
It's freer from congressional oversight. It's freer from directives other than the purpose of ultimately the best science.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com.
In Beirut, the fighting has stopped for the moment. There's a new power-sharing agreement between the Lebanese government and Hezbollah militants. You'd think real estate in a war-torn city like Beirut would be dirt cheap. But actually, homes and condos are pretty darn expensive, and foreign investors are starting to take notice. Ben Gilbert has more from Beirut.
Just 2 weeks ago, Hezbollah militiamen fought street to street in this West Beirut neighborhood using machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades. After the smoke cleared, the windows were blown out of high-rises on some streets, but the offices of Coldwell Banker stood unscathed, and business quickly resumed. Combat is normally not a good sign for real estate, but broker Mario Mahana says Lebanese investors see this as a buying opportunity.
There is a French proverb that says you have to buy on the sound of the cannons and sell on the sound of the violins. And here they are applying this 100%. More things goes worse, they say this is an opportunity to buy.
Mohana volunteered to take me to an old Lebanese house near his office that he's renovating for a client. It cost around $2 million 1 year ago. It will be worth $6 million after renovation.
Like 10 days ago, there was fighting only about three blocks from here, and the price hasn't gone down at all.
Not at all. No, they didn't go down.
Without skipping a beat, Mohana resumes his tour.
You see, this is from here, the facade, the main facade, which is wonderful. This will become a garden.
Mohana is unshakably optimistic, but it seems for good reason. Real estate prices have risen by at least 30% here in the last few years. Some areas have seen prices double. Mohana isn't really worried about renewed fighting, but he does have limits.
Don't buy without a parking.
Without parking?
No parking, you will never be able to sell it again. This is a must now.
Mohana has done his homework. Throughout Lebanon's civil war, property prices rarely went down. Ashraf Kojok, the manager at Coldwell Banker's West Beirut office, says rich Gulf Arabs love Lebanon, as do the millions of Lebanese overseas who earn salaries in strong euros and buy Lebanese real estate in cheap dollars. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
People complain about China's environmental record, rightly so. But China may be ahead of the curve on something, plastic bags. This weekend, those thin plastic grocery bags will be outlawed in China. I'm sure you've heard about how they're bad for wildlife and take like 1,000 years to disintegrate. But not many countries have banned the plastic bags. In the U.S., the only city that has done anything so far is San Francisco. It imposed restrictions last month. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.